No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis today. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information, and then some after this post-election apocalypse. I don't have anything to say about the election stuff just yet, and we're just going to save it. We're going to marinate on what happened Tuesday and kind of analyze it accordingly and see what it means for the aviation industry and cover it accordingly here in the next week or two. So just stand by for that. We'll put that aside and focus on other aviation things. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Matter of fact, Dennis's brother is coming on the show today. And what did he do, Dennis? He flew in a what?
Well, he works for a government agency, and as a reward, they offered him a ride in a single-engine airplane, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay, so that's what we call in the biz a tease. So that's coming up a little bit later on the big show today. Also, we got to give a little shout-out to Girls in Aviation Day. Was this a record-breaking thing? You know, you were there at that one event up there in Minnesota, or which airport were you at?
That was in Minneapolis at the Flying Cloud Airport. And
okay.
Yeah, we were part of that. It was one of many events throughout the world, actually.
Yeah. And they did, they had a record number of participants in this year's event. What was the number they threw out there?
It was over 15,000 girls were participating in the event. So
very
they
nice.
Got to see opportunities on aviation careers, not just pilots, but air traffic control, maintenance, engineering, medevac, airport operations, you know, just anything that deals with aviation. So I think it's great that bring more people into the industry.
Yes. Aviation needs women. You see, I'm not part of the whole marketing shtick in that regard. But I don't know if I would assume that's a record, but did they say it's a record or they're just, you know, throwing that 15,000 number out there?
No, they are calling it a record. It's the most that they've had for an attendance.
Excellent. Well, hats off to that organization, and I think that is only going to be a positive thing for the industry as it progresses. But good job with that organization. Girls in Aviation, check it out online. You can follow it accordingly, and we'll cover it as well as they progress right here on Just Plane Radio. All right. Now, another thing that we covered about a month ago now, it's been a while. The NBAA show was here in Orlando. Big event. We covered it wall to wall or as much as we can. And hobnob with all the business jet owners and pilots and stuff like that. Dennis couldn't make it. He wanted to come out for that event and fly his Mooney down. He couldn't do that. But he did do, he got a lot of the press releases. And one of them led you to this new guideline. Is it new, by the way, that they put out from NBAA or what, Dennis?
Yeah, it's a fairly recent document. It's kind of like a workbook on risk management.
Yeah.
You know, the FAA has had a area of emphasis on risk assessment, and they've actually incorporated it now into the practical test standards. Or the ACS, you know, the new guidelines.
Okay.
And what the NBAA has done is say, okay, that's great that you have this PAVE methodology, you know, pilot, aircraft, environment, external pressures, and you got to take all of those factors into account as you're planning your flight and make sure that you're accommodating it. But what they've done is expanded upon that. They've created a simple, easy-to-follow checklist or a workbook that you can, you know, kind of fill in the blanks and assess how these individual things are going to affect your flight. And the great part is they put together a nice little scenario that looks like a practical, typical GA business trip. Mm-hmm. And all of the considerations that a pilot needs to factor in on these flights.
Okay, well, let's work through this scenario because they got very specific. So,
they did.
You have like a 10-seat... I don't know, or let's say
it's a King Air. It's a twin engine turboprop. So they were basing this on, you know, a pretty standard GA airplane that's being flown by one of the executives of the company as well.
Right.
So You know, they're saying the theory is here. You're the chief financial officer of a company. You're also the chief pilot flying your company's King Air.
Okay.
You took a business trip for the last couple of days. You're up in the Dakotas or out in Colorado. And the next morning, you're planning on departing at 6 a.m. from your hotel to go on a tour of a customer's facility. Then you're going to have lunch. And by the time you get back in the plane, it's going to be 2 o'clock and you have a bunch of deadlines. You've got passengers that need to be back for family commitments. You've got your boss that needs to be back for an 8 o'clock meeting the next day. And you're looking at the weather and it's typical summer in the Great Plains. There's thunderstorms and low instrument conditions, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they laid out this whole big scenario. How do you handle that risk? You know, you've got deadlines, external pressures. You've got an aircraft that you might have to go and deviate around thunderstorms. How's that going to affect your flight planning?
Okay.
And so I thought it was very interesting. I mean, as the pilot, you know, are you current? When was the most recent time you flew an instrument approach, knowing that there's bad weather ahead of you? Are you capable of doing that?
Mm-hmm.
What about the airplane? How is it equipped? You know, it's a King Air, but does that mean it's all the instruments and everything's working? And so they actually threw some curveballs in. They said, okay, you've got a fully IFR equipped airplane, but one of your nav radios isn't up. But you do have an IFR GPS. The fuel range is enough to get you to your home airport with an alternate. So that's kind of laid out the airplane. And then we discussed about, you know, the external pressures. We got potential bad weather. You've got some commitments and meetings. And how do you handle all that?
Mm-hmm. Well, does it tell you, okay, if you go through this, and what is the right or wrong decision? Or is it just throwing this scenario out at you to make your own?
Well, they do give you a school book answer, but I think it's a lot of it is go through this scenario and put yourself into this position. How would you address these? And then you can come back and pull it all together and look at what their school book answer was. They give you the nice little matrix here that you can identify, you know, the pilot qualifications. Are there any risks or hazards? Is that hazard likely? And then if there is a likelihood of a hazard there, you know, say you've only had one approach in the last 90 days,
mm-hmm.
what's the impact? What's the severity level of that? What's the overall risk to you having that? You just lay out this whole matrix and lay everything out. And the idea was in this scenario, the pilot did all this in his hotel room before dinner that night. So he was able to sit down with his boss and lay it all out and say, here's what our options are for tomorrow. If we want to make everything work.
Yeah. And his boss said,
so what they suggested is, all right, instead of going on a tour of the factory, which would wind up getting us out of there at 2 o'clock, let's stop at lunch. We'll get lunch catered on the airplane. Now we can leave at noon. That gets us out ahead of some of the bad weather.
Yeah.
Because we're probably going to have to deviate and go around. Another consideration is runway lengths back at the home airport and where the rain is going to be. If we go to our alternate airport instead of going to our home base, we can avoid the rain. We can land on a dry runway with longer runway lengths. And what do we need to do? We just would have to have a limo, you know, have somebody pick us up with an Uber or something like that to get us to where our cars are parked.
Okay.
You know, take those little things into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
What it made me think of is you're not getting yourself forced into that get-home-itis where, well, we have to go back to that airport because that's where our cars are. Think outside the box. Think practical. So you may have a 20-minute taxi ride or need to hire a limousine service to come pick up your executives. Is that safer and smarter than risking a low approach to a wet runway with an airplane that's, you know, fully loaded? Those types of considerations, I thought it was really interesting that, you know, it laid out a bunch of different options and it didn't spoon feed it to you, but their solution made you think outside the grid, you know, and start looking at how these things could interact and play and some of the considerations you'd want to take into account. You know, one thing was, I'm not going to go out to dinner tonight with you guys because I need to get to sleep because I'm going to be up early and having to fly. And if I stay out and drink with you guys and have to be up at 6 in the morning, I'm going to be tired and fatigued.
True.
So those are some of the things. I know that doesn't work for you so well, Greg, but...
Well, that's why you're the pilot and I'm
exactly
the pilot in training.
Well, and another curve they threw in this scenario was that the boss said he was willing to help fly on their flight home because he was a private pilot without an instrument rating and maybe 100 hours in a Cessna. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's great. You can certainly help, but here's what you're going to do. You know, and spelled out what he would allow that private pilot to help him with instead of just, you know, having the guy just come in the airplane wanting to do a bunch of things. You know what? You can turn the tune the nav radios for me or, you know, things like that. But spelling out the responsibility of the second pilot is also extremely helpful in managing some of that risk.
Delegating some duties for sure. That sounds like a good plan. And coming up with a plan A, a B, and a C at least. That's exactly. Kind of what it sounds like to me. And maybe everybody, whether it's GA or business, you should be planning like that accordingly. Good stuff, and we got more of it to come right here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly. Fly right into the future.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Dennis today. We are the crew navigating the latest aviation news and information for you. And, you know, welcome aboard. All right. So, look, we have covered a lot of things, including how to make you a better pilot, but how to make you a better business person. Who would have thunk it, that the two would overlap? And we have a story or, I don't know what, the top 10 or top 7 tips on how to make your business better by using your aviation background. Is that what it is, Dennis? Something to that effect?
No, it's more 7 lessons that flying can teach you about your business.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that one then instead. So we got that coming up. But before we do that, we got to get our drone news out of the way. And there was a cool little story on how not only are they taking the drones and, you know, racing them and stuff these days, they're actually using more practical stuff for these drones other than delivering pizzas and burgers and other crazy stuff that's bound to happen. They're using it to save lives, right? So what is this story talking about? What is this?
Well, with the drones, I mean, everybody's looking at them for like things like search and rescue, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But have you noticed, like, especially up here in Minnesota, there's a lot of forest and not a lot of infrastructure.
Right.
And if you get lost, you know, say you got a hiker out in the woods and you're trying to track them down, you got a drone flying overhead and there's a lot of trees blocking that. You're not going to see them. So you need to get something down underneath into the forest in the same place that the hikers are.
Right.
Well, okay. Those leaves, believe it or not, can sometimes block the GPS signals. So now how does the drone know where it's at? So some researchers are looking at putting self-driving car technology into the drone itself so that as they're flying along, they're mapping their surroundings and recognizing landmarks, the shapes of a tree, rocks, things like that, so they can remember where they are. And instead of just simply mowing the lawn, but, you know, going forward and backward and then moving, sidestepping and doing it again, mm-hmm. they want to conserve the momentum of the airplane as it's flying. So they're looking at doing like circular spiral search patterns so they can cover a lot of territory at a steady speed. And they'll navigate around the trees and everything, but be below the deck looking for things that are out of the ordinary. So they're going to have some sort of recognition technology to be able to identify what a person looks like, but then also be able to map their surroundings so they can maintain their position as they're doing this.
Wow. And so these are like
fleets.
Yeah. These are the drones from Terminator.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, they are. I mean, because that's what they do. They fly around all the, you know, destruction and chaos that the machines had destroyed human civilization. And then they find all the hanger-ons by flying around all the rubble, and you know they fly around the culverts, and they would do this in the woods, and I mean that'd be kind of cool.
As long as they don't subscribing to Asimov's you know robotic laws of do no harm and things like that.
Exactly, yeah. You got to put in that safety lever or whatever. Yeah, that piece of code that you know. Then of course one day some you know evil genius will remove it. And then they'll take over. But until then, they might save a few lives or find a few folks that got lost in the woods. So that's a good use for drone technology if they can do it. And like you said, I mean, that self-driving car stuff is pretty remarkable when you look at it. When you see the computer, you know, read out of how the car sees, you know, the road in front of it, it is pretty spectacular because it just kind of maps out the road in front of it digitally. Yeah, have you seen that video where it does
I've
that
seen,
kind of
I've seen a lot of those, right. And the carryover of that technology, that research that's being done there, the smart thing is it's not being just, you know, siloed off into that technology. It's being adopted elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't see this as a stretch of incorporating some of that same technology into our autopilots at some point. Being able to identify and recognize the airport environment as you're coming into land, and, you know, helping, you know, take synthetic vision technology to the next level.
Right. Or they can take it and reverse it and see that I'm the pilot in command. And
no, I think they know better.
Right. They'd look at me like, oh, no, I don't think so, Greg. We're going to have the autopilot take over. You just sit back and shut up. Yeah, it could happen. You know.
Maybe they'll have to build that into the G1000, you know, like Apple's got their face recognition technology and all the new phones now. You just look at the airplane and it's going, no.
Yeah, idiot face ID, something like that. Right. It could happen. All right. So technology, you know, is really taken over. But then again, I see this article come out this week to remind us, especially, you know, pilots in training or just pilots in general, that don't forget all these cool toys, all these bells and whistles, all these great avionics that we're getting in the airplanes to make it easier and you know, easier to manage the flight controls and all that stuff. Don't forget that the basics of flying an airplane don't change. Nothing has changed. The basics still apply. You got to have what, and what.
Pull back and the houses get smaller, and you push forward and they get bigger. That part hasn't changed. Maybe our workload's been reduced and simplified, but still, it takes thrust to move forward, whether that's a jet, a piston, you know, some battery-powered things. Mm-hmm. None of that's really changed, but a lot of technology is improving to make it more reliable, make it more accessible, hopefully lesser cost.
Yeah, less stressful for the pilot in command. That's the goal, but you still have to be able to fly the airplane. It still reacts the same way to all the elements that you're, you know, trying to navigate through. So you're gonna, you know, you want to keep that in mind, even though it might be a $5 million aircraft or a $20,000 aircraft. The principles are the same. You still have to move this thing through the air and adjust the flaps and all that stuff, and you know, and the ailerons and all that kind of stuff. What, depending on what kind of equipment you're using, you still have to manage all this stuff. So
well,
it's just kind of
just this morning we yeah well just this morning we were actually invited to come out to Sun Country Airlines, their our hometown airline here in Minneapolis, and we had a chance to go through their maintenance facility and crawl around inside of a 737. And it's amazing for a, you know, a multi-million dollar airliner that can go, you know, 500 miles an hour and carry all those passengers. When you get up into the wheel well and take a look at the hydraulics and the cables and everything, it looks a lot like a Mooney. They're
does
still
it
there.
Really?
It really does. I mean, wow. It's scary. You've still got cables going through there. You've got bell cranks and things just like we have in our airplane. They're smaller mm-hmm. on my plane, but it's the concept is still the same. They've
That's
got
right.
ailerons on the wings. They've got, you know, a wheel that you turn in the cockpit. They got glass displays.
Just big, it's, bigger, it's heavier, bigger, carries more people.
More expensive.
Yeah, more expensive. So it's really a matter of how big your checkbook is as opposed
right.
to, you know, how big your brain capacity is. And that's the story I'm going with as I pursue my Quest Kodiak. It's, what they tell me, 2.5 mil, something like that. Maybe approaching, I don't know. A man can dream. So we'll leave it at that for now. All right, 7 ways to make your business better.
7 lessons that flying can teach you about your business.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so we have 7 tips or 7 ways that you can use your aviation background to make your business function more efficiently, better, or what, Dennis? What is it?
Well, it's taking concepts that we use in flying and applying them to your business.
Okay.
Number one on Trevor's list here is preparation is crucial. Well, you probably wouldn't know that by listening to the show, but, you know, planning things in advance, having a business plan, having a strategy could, you know, we use that every day when we go flying, right? We
yeah.
come up with a flight plan. We have a goal. We, mm-hmm. we have ins and outs. Applying that same thing to your business will probably make it a lot more successful than just showing up and winging it.
As we do here on Just Plane Radio. Improv, great on the radio, not necessarily in the air. you could. You got to improvise sometimes, but Trevor, the guy who wrote this, he's not going down that road. He's not taking that flight.
But he does. He does give us an out there because his number two is take calculated risks.
Well, risks. Why would you want to do that? That doesn't sound like
calculated risk.
Okay, so you know what the result's going to be.
But if you do, it's that opportunity not taken. You know, take a chance. You know, I read a great article today about a business in Minneapolis that I've never heard of that was doing a presentation for a customer on their product, and it failed miserably, and they wound up changing direction completely, and now the company that holds 99% of all real estate listings and photos for the entire country. So they took a calculated risk. We're going to go a different direction with our business because clearly this isn't working. And look at the success that they have today. So it's kind of that same concept. So take some risks, and the reward might be there, but make sure it's a reasonable risk.
Well, it's a calculated risk that you know what will happen.
Yeah.
Here's the worst case scenario type of thing. And if you feel comfortable with taking that risk, then I guess he's saying, let's go for it. and take that deviation or whatever it may be. All right, five more to go on ways to make your business better from an aviation standpoint. That's next on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You can't fly.
No, but until I can, I have to set up for piloting a plane. Let's do it. Come on, Bernie. You can't ground this eagle. It needs to soar. You know I can do this.
We've come this far. Don't you be scared now. Cause you can learn to fly on the way down.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis and his brother is going to join us here momentarily on the big show. Tell us about a little experience he had. I'm looking forward to that, but I think everyone will enjoy this interesting little prize that he won and got to take advantage of. That's coming up in a matter of moments. But first, we got to finish out these tips, these seven ways to use your aviation skills to make your business more efficient, better, or more successful. So the first two, let's recap what we've covered already, Dennis, were what?
Preparation is crucial.
Okay. Preparation. And then
taking calculated risks.
Taking calculated risks was number two. So let's move on to three. What do we have?
So don't be threatened by turbulence. Be threatened by fear. So in other words, don't let some bumps in the road. But make sure you're very aware of, you know, things that aren't looking right. You know, if you see that thunderstorm coming ahead, we probably should be afraid of that and make plans. So, and the same thing in your business. Don't be upset by some bumps in the road. But if you see something, you know, that's not looking good in the business situation, you know, be afraid of that and make plans to avoid it.
There's a storm brewing and you want to avoid it at all costs.
Exactly.
Be afraid to get in the middle of that mess. But, you know, if you figure if you take this route, it's going to be a little bumpy, a little uphill kind of grind, but you think you can do it, handle it accordingly. All right, that makes sense. So deal with the turbulence, but avoid the storms, more or less, right?
Yep. Don't just, you know, you see the black cloud coming, don't head straight for it. You know,
yeah, don't just plow through it, you know, blindly. Okay. As we wouldn't want to do as a pilot. All right. So number four, what do we have?
Constantly be learning. And this every pilot should take to heart. Getting your pilot's license isn't a one and done. It is truly a license to learn. And if you're not constantly staying up on the latest, you know, by listening to our show and other methods, you know, you should be. You really owe it to yourself. There's a lot of new technology coming out there. There's a lot of new opportunities, whether it's adding an additional rating, maybe getting a seaplane rating just because it's something different, expands you outside of your comfort envelope. That's the kind of thing you should be doing. And the same thing with your business.
True. You know, there are many ways to skin that cat.
Yeah, new techniques could you learn for your business? What new skills, what new software could you be looking at adding to your business or to your own skills? You know, are you weak at doing presentations? Take a PowerPoint class. Are you afraid to do public speaking? Sign up and start being a host on a radio show.
Mm-hmm. That could help or hurt, depending on the show. But you know, the other thing to that as well is technology. I mean, if you don't stay up with it, and don't try to immerse yourself in the business and the focus of what you're trying to do. There's always, every day, there's something new that potentially can make you thrive more efficiently, cheaper, you know, smarter, stronger, you know, that kind of thing. Where's that Kanye West song, When I Need It? But you know what I'm saying, right?
It's under that preparation section.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I lack in that part of it. But regardless, I mean, that makes sense. You know, stay up to date. Keep learning new tricks It just makes you better and more efficient. You know, for our business here at Just Plain Radio, you know, I manage three different radio shows. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for literally over 20 years. I hate to admit it, but it's true. And if you would have talked to the Greg back then and the technology and stuff
that we did.
That's true. He did, which is remarkable that he still talks to me now. But that's a whole different issue. You know, the thing is, the equipment we were working with, the technology we were working with was totally different. And it was much more cumbersome. Now it's way, way easier. It, you know, but the fundamentals still are the same, actually. But all the technology that's made it easier for me to manage three different radio shows and have them syndicated across the country and all that kind of stuff, a lot of that has been because we stay up with the technology. I mean, when we started our scuba show, for instance, the internet really didn't even exist. You know, that was, you know, this whole podcasting thing and online listening.
Well, podcasting didn't exist when you had scuba radio on. You could download episodes in real player format off of your website. That right. was it. There was no automatic subscriptions and pushes. Apple's iPod came out after you had scuba radio on
yeah.
the air for many years.
It was crazy stuff. And that totally changed the way we delivered the show to the world. And now, then I would have never thought any of our shows would, you know, go outside of their states, let alone across the country and around the world, and it's no big deal now. Pretty much anybody can do it. If you got a microphone, you plug it up to a computer and have things syndicated across the country. So, you know, that applies to flying, it applies to business, and it's just smart. So it's just a matter of always keep learning. Always keep your eyes open for new ways to make your work more efficient, cheaper, smarter, all that kind of good stuff. I love that one. All right, so that's four. What's number five?
Challenges in flight prepare you for challenges in business.
Explain.
So, well, think about it. As you're going through flight school, you were probably introduced to a bunch of new challenges. Well, for you, you might not remember that, but, you know, some scared you at first. You know, that first time you had to go out and do a power on stall. Was that comfortable for you? Pitching the nose up way high with a lot of power on and, you know, feeling that wing start to buffet and
I thought it was fun.
Drop.
I was kind of like, hey, I'm on one of these wild buffalo.
It's an e-ticket at dead Epcot.
Exactly. Ooh. Like, crank it up there, Charlie. I can handle this bucking Bronco. I enjoyed it. The whole flying thing didn't make me nervous at all. I really enjoyed most of that stuff.
But a lot of student pilots don't like the things that are not straight and level. It's not a normal attitude for them. They don't like it. It's out of their comfort zone. And
True.
So they're really cautious about doing those maneuvers, and they're really timid, you know, on their reactions. And after a couple of times of doing it, you start to build up and start to, oh, okay, this isn't so bad. I know how to do this, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. And they're saying the same thing with business. Take on challenges. It might not be something in your wheelhouse, something that you're comfortable with, but take on some new challenge, some new role, to tackle, you know, something different, and it becomes easier as you take on those challenges.
That makes sense. In little nuggets, little baby steps, and then you just build, you know, one in front of the other, you know, kind of one step in front of the other. It's almost holiday season, so you can start humming that one. All right, I like that. And we got two more. What do you got next?
Well, this one's got your name all over it, Greg. Always take personal time to avoid burnout.
Oh, yes. You can never have too much vacation.
Nope. Working long hours.
Me time.
You got to have some me time.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And that's part of why I have an airplane, is because I wanted to be able to do some things with my kids and my family, and it's opened up a lot of opportunities for us, whether it's flying to a pancake breakfast, coming down to South Florida to go scuba dive with you and CJ. You know, it's given us some opportunities that we didn't have. It's a lot of fun.
Right. I've heard this comment from a lot of my pilot friends, that when they get up in their airplane, that is like their away time. You know, from all, you know, they can just focus on flying. They're the only one in the plane, and they just feel totally free. But how that applies to business, because the more vacation time you take, the less money you make, the way I would look at it. So how do you flip that?
Well, in business, though, I mean, if you're one of these workaholics that's, you know, doing 14-hour days and you're home just to sleep, you don't get that time to yourself, to spend with your family, to do the things that the whole reason you're working is to be able to do fun things and to have a family and
be happy. You know,
be happy.
True.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. All right, and the final tip that kind of applies from aviation that you can apply to a business is what?
Is never be afraid to adjust your course.
Hmm. Never be afraid to deviate.
Exactly.
If the need arises.
Yep. So whether that's change, pursuing a different line of business, you know, hey, things aren't working well over here. Let's, you know, maybe it looks a little rosier over here. There's an opportunity over here. Why not? Why not pursue that? Whether that's at a business level or you as an employee. Hey, I'm burning out. Hey, maybe there's something else.
Yeah. You know, you got to constantly switch it up. If something's not working, it's not that necessarily that you're doing it wrong. It's just you got to do it a little differently and adjust to make it, you know, more conducive to what you're trying to achieve. You know, don't be afraid to deviate when things are looking a little cloudy up front. All right. Good stuff. And we got a very special treat. Dennis's brother going to join us next to talk about a flight adventure he just had.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly into the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative, and it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gonna take a for a ride on a midget plane.
Yeah, yeah. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. And we now have his brother Andy on the phone as well. So, Andy, welcome to Just Plane Radio. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for having me, Greg.
All right. So you have had a really cool aviation experience that we're going to talk about. And first off, I guess Christmas arrived early for you, from what I hear. This was a gift that you were received from your boss for performing well in business, or what?
It was. You know, my boss came to me and explained how it works. And, yeah, I happened to be the right place at the right time. And
Yeah, he was rewarding you for applying your aviation skills to business and making him successful, something to that effect. And this was a reward. This was a gift that he gave you. And go ahead and tell us what it was, first off.
Well, it was a ride in a F-16.
Wow.
So, you know, the once-in-a-lifetime chance, having been a aircraft F-16 mechanic for 25 years now. You know, it was definitely the thing I wanted to do.
Very cool. So you'd been working on these airplanes, and so your business is connected to that. So he had connections and was able to make this or facilitate this flight for you. Is that kind of what happened or what?
That is. I mean, I started out as an 18-year-old kid in Germany working on airplanes. And, yeah, I've been able to translate that into my, you know, now much older self.
Yes. Well, and, you know, you've kind of, you know, marked a few things off the bucket list, it sounds like, and this was one of them.
And that was.
So obviously, we got to hear what it was like. You'd been seeing these planes for many years, and you dreamt of going up in one and flying it. Was it as great as it sounds like it could be, or did you get up there and puke your guts out?
I'd like to say it was the worst experience of my life, but then, of course, it would be the biggest lie I've ever told.
Right.
You know, I've always had this expectation of what it was going to be, and it far exceeded that. It was,
really?
You know, from the JFS start to the rumble of the engine to taxiing out. I mean, I luckily had the oxygen mask over my face so nobody could see the big Joker-esque smile on my face.
Very nice. So, and this is like the Top Gun airplanes, right, Dennis? And this is the same thing?
Yeah, it's an F-16. Yep. Yeah. Well, not Tom Cruise. That was an F-14 no. Tomcat. But.
Oh, so this is way better. Is way,
this would be more a crappier movie.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
well, from what I understand, yours was two better than his F-14. Yeah, get it, whatever. Okay, so you get up in this thing. You take off. I mean, is it like, I don't know, is it like being on a roller coaster kind of thing, or how would you describe it to someone who's never been in one of these aircraft?
I would attribute it to maybe, imagine a very powerful sports car where, you know, we roll out on the runway and you feel the afterburner light, and it's just, you're being thrown back in your seat. You just feel that the aircraft accelerate down the runway, and, you know, we pull up, feel, it gets really quiet once that gear comes up.
Yeah.
And we accelerate, and then we went from, well, we had to climb to 200 feet because of birds this time of year in northern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to climb to 200 feet and then pulled straight up to 22,000 feet in about less than 15 seconds, I think.
Wow. No, I would think,
though, beforehand, you know, make sure as we're climbing straight up to kind of try to look over your shoulder, and I look back and there I can see the base in the airport we took off from as we're, you know, standing on the tailpipe.
Yeah, and you're looking back like, whoa, don't fall out. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be wild. No, wait, why did you have to fly above the birds? I would imagine an F-16 would literally just disintegrate them on contact, or they just want to avoid that part of it.
They kind of, you want to avoid that part.
Yeah.
Yes.
All the cleanup.
The transparency itself can handle a bird strike at 500 knots, but it's, you know, not recommended.
Yeah.
But and then also, you know the engine is the weak part. That's where.
Well, true. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But, okay. So you go up there, you shot straight up like an arrow and did the typical thing we see at the air shows where they go way up there and then it kind of loses power and then falls back to earth. Did he do that kind of thing for you or what?
I think it's more piston engine. You know, with the F-16 has the 1-to-1 and can accelerate going straight up. So I don't think there was ever a loss of power. It was just our flight profile. We were leveling out at 20,000 feet.
Was the pilot laughing hysterically? Like, oh, okay, you better get ready for this. About time to lose your life. Hey, what'd you have for breakfast? Let's find out.
No, he was pretty good. You know, he'd always check in with me. Hey, we're about to do this. You know, you ready? So nothing was a surprise. You know, they're not.
He doesn't really want to clean up the cockpit after you get out of the plane is what you're saying. Dennis, I got to ask you, how is it your brother got this right and not you?
Well, actually, I got this ride before he did.
Oh, you did? You've done this too.
Yeah, we both were members. Well, he still is, but I was also a member of the the 148th Fighter Interceptor Group up in Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so Andy's still there. I've moved on. But I did get a ride in the F-4 Phantom back in 1989. So he's finally catching up to me.
No, wait a minute. F-4 Phantom, that's like 10 less, isn't it?
No, I think it's 10 cooler. It, you know, the Phantom, Vietnam-era fighter, there's just some nostalgia there.
Okay.
I'm going to have to agree with Dennis on this one.
You would. You would have rather been him and flown in that one, huh?
I wouldn't say rather, but no, it is definitely a cooler airplane.
Okay. Sibling rivalry definitely at work there. Okay,
well,
so
he does have me beat, though. He pulled a lot more G's in the F-16 than I did.
Yeah, how many G's you figure there, Andy?
I got a pin that says I did 9, and that's 9 G's on the G.
Wow, that's meter, like your tongue goes up into your backside orifice. I don't know where it goes, but definitely not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it was like having a pile of concrete on my...
Okay.
Like I told my wife that at one point today I weighed 1,800 pounds, and she called me a fatty.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's what they're there for, to make us feel terrible about ourselves. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.